It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
There are rich teams and there are poor teams. Then there's 50 feet of crap. And then there's us.
Speak for yourself.
Can't be no more than 10 feet. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soce. The show is available as a blog, or blogs, as a podcast. It's available as a podcast, and you can check it out on iTunes. Mm-hmm. And we have a blog, which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com. It's on the Tumblr.
It's on the Tumblr.
Yep.
The voice you just heard is a man who hates Birdman big time now. That's right. That's
trying to start stuff.
That's Kobe Slick. That's right. And we want it for once, the white guys are causing trouble on the court. The tattooed white guys. Hey! And, Birdman Hansborough. Can't wait for that.
The rematch.
Tomorrow night.
Saturday.
Will we be there?
We will not be there, no. Yeah. We will be watching from home.
You saw on Tuesday, right?
Yes.
You had fun.
Yes.
Obviously, the victory helped.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, how did we do?
We did good. Came out a little bit slow, started the third quarter, but things picked up, and we were able to pull out a victory, so it was good.
It was
a big game for us.
I bet. I figured if you score more points than the other team, you're probably going to win.
Yeah, if you score more, usually if you rebound more, block out, post up.
And did they bring both of their strong elements?
The fire and the passion?
Yes.
Yes, the majority of the first half, both there. As I said, the beginning of the third quarter, no fire, no passion. But that turned around late in the third quarter, and they sustained that through the fourth quarter. So.
And apparently LeBron didn't need fire or passion. He just needed the ball.
Yep, pretty much.
Oh, well.
That's why he's the MVP.
That's right, and people hate him. Yep. So, all right, in studio, yes, it's one of these guests. This is not his first time at the rodeo, but he's got his own intro. So let's introduce him.
Oh man, see,
wait, you see him here?
Yeah, I know, but
I
had Curtis roll.
Curtis
rolling underneath it.
So you have to give Curtis a rest.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
The blackest brother in the galaxy, Nubian God.
What's a Nubian?
Will someone shut that man up?
Never. Never.
Ladies and gentlemen, Abdul Kim Shabazz.
You know, there's something to be said that I have a radio show and Tavis Smiley doesn't.
Wow. He's got more viewers than us, let's put it that way. He's on national television.
Well, TV, yeah, but TV. WBZ in Chicago just said...
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that's like you're kind of getting...
That's kind of bad.
Yeah, you're kind of getting a little crazy.
Yeah,
so need to... You and Cornel West, you need to cut that afro, get your teeth fixed...
The views of Film Sociology do not reflect...
And yes, I said teeth.
Not teepus.
So, by the way, yes, the views expressed by the guests today are not those of Film Sociology, nor WFYI.org.
Or IBC,
nor National Public Radio, nor WIBC, nor WTLC, nor the I New Star, Nuvo...
Or the community.
But they are mine. They should be.
And part of the reason why we have Abdul on, one, because, well, we enjoy his company, but two, he is coming back into the war trenches that is radio.
That's right.
And I'm waiting for Garrison to ban you from coming over here. So anyway, he is going to be down the street from us, so we'll be on top
Yeah. You're going to be on WIBC Saturday afternoons.
Saturday afternoons, 2 to 4. It's called Abdul at Large.
And in charge.
Of course, I didn't know whether they were talking about my ego or my waistline, so I'm going to the gym and work out after we get done
here.
You're
the HNIC.
That's right.
Chris Spangle is now shaking in embarrassment.
Isn't everybody?
Yes, that's true.
It's been a conversation we've been having for a while with my good friends right down the street, so things just finally kind of worked out and came together. So very happy to be back on the radio doing what we used to do 5 days a week at the other end of Meridian Street, literally.
Literally. And well, anyway, we're glad to have you on here. And yeah, I'm sure somebody will come banging at the glass at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, actually, they don't use the downstairs studios anymore for radio broadcasting.
Oh, very smart on their part.
It is up on the fourth floor.
Oh, so you can look
down.
Do you have the Andy Kaufman chair that's 10 feet tall for you?
No, but the theme music will be the REM "I Am Superman" because we're going old school.
Wow.
Yeah, back in the old days.
So is it going to be James Brown 4 o'clock instead
of sure.
James Brown Friday?
Yeah, James Brown Friday. Well, we may get to a James Brown Friday, but that's another discussion for another time.
That is true. And of course, every now and then, don't be surprised if you hear soul music presented by the White Guys Collection.
That's right. So. Bill, is your dad picking the music today?
No, it's him.
That's the white guy my dad likes. Sonny wish he had.
No, Sonny wish he adopted. So yeah. You'd have a reverse Webster.
No, one of my brothers. You'd probably be the one he wish he had.
Oh, okay. Great. All right. So opening in theaters today.
Earth. Woo!
Yeah, they're... Do we have the... That's the new soundbite there, Kobe. the two of you doing that. And yes, this opened last night. This is apparently becoming the new thing now. And I know, which means it's probably an old thing, because in Richmond... They've been opening at 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock on Thursdays. They can't wait for Fridays. And occasionally you would get the big movie that would open on a Wednesday, and then it would you know. But no. So yeah, we have After Earth, the latest attempt to shove Jaden Smith down our throats. But you're not making eye contact with Mr. Shabazz, are we?
I'm kind of
torn.
It's one of those movies that. It looks like it has the potential to be interesting, but then you see the trailer, and it's like, okay, is this the best part of the movie?
Well, as now my colleague Jeff Marker, if you go and read his stuff online at the Gainesville Times, actually thought the film was okay. Made a point of saying you don't see Mr. Shyamalan's name at all in the American credits, probably because his last two films were The Last Airbender and The Happening. Nothing happening.
Yeah,
what's happening?
That's why that was the one with the Mark, red tie pod flower thing.
The trees are going to kill us.
The trees were going to kill us, and the guy lays down under the lawnmower.
Yep, and everyone's favorite science teacher, Mark Wahlberg. So, no, this time around it's Will and Jaden, but apparently Jaden gets to do all the heavy lifting on this one because Will is it's set in the future. Tom Cruise isn't there, and there are no apes. And
there are no apes. No big giant. Rubik's Cube in outer space.
Or monolith. That's right. So, and apparently they need to get something on Earth, and Will is injured, so he has to talk Jaden through it. And of course, this is his walkabout, his bar mitzvah, is something. So,
it is brisk.
Right. However, I can't wait to see Jaden Smith star in a film not involving his dad.
Yeah.
Because we've had Pursuit of Happiness.
That'd be Men in Black 30.
That's right. He takes over the role. Because they were both really good in Pursuit of Happiness. And then he did The Karate Kid, which... And now this one. So that's opening. Great White Shark.
Why can't
3D?
I call this the cool Karate Kid?
With a K.
Sorry, kid.
So it's menthol.
Yeah.
We have Great White Shark 3D, which is down at the downtown Indy IMAX. IMAX production filmed in South Africa, New Zealand, Mexico, and California. But
it's also an art film.
No, Robert Shaw, no Roy Scheider. Richard Dreyfuss is still with us, but he's not in this either.
But no not Robert De Niro, but Martin Scorsese.
No Scorsese. Oh, God, that's a terrible, terrible animated film. That was one of those films.
That's not terrible.
No, Shark Tale was terrible. That was one of those films that when my daughter, HW, first saw the trailers for it when she was young, I didn't listen to her. Daddy, can we go see that? See what, hon? Oh, I missed it. I don't know what you're talking about. No, did that movie ever come out? No.
Nope, sure didn't.
Never did.
Ain't seen that. No, not the kid.
So we also have Kon-Tiki, the true story of a Norwegian explorer who crossed the Pacific on a balsa wood raft. Not Life of Pi.
Why?
Why not? You see that over After Earth.
Thunder Regis got anything else better to do but get on some balsa wood? First of all, how the balsa wood stay together?
I mean, don't ask me. I'm just...
That's a bigger question. I use balsa wood to make model airplanes.
Oh, maybe it's strong. It's the, you know what? It's the number 6.
Can't wait to see the blooper reel.
Exactly. And Sarah Polley's documentary, Stories We Tell, which involves her family. And, of course, she directed Away From Her, which was one of my favorite films of the last few years. But now we get to something I actually did see.
Fast and Furious 6.
No, we did not see
Fast. It was 6. Awesome.
You saw it?
No, I didn't see it. No. You know I didn't see that. Real.
Faster, Pussycat, Kill.
Kill, Kill. Kobe's got claws.
Wow, that's like, I've never seen you look offended. In the 5 years that I've known you, young man, I've never seen you to look.
Oh, I can offend him. Ready? Let's just go through the list. Russell Brand.
God.
Let's see, Vince Vaughn.
I can just feel the disgust oozing out of your eye sockets.
Ryan Reynolds.
That's terrible.
The Detroit Pistons. The number 3. Ugh. Elvis Costello.
That is so not fair.
Salman Rushdie. Me.
Hey, at least Salman Rushdie wrote a book.
That's what I keep trying to tell him. I'm like, he wrote a great book that
and trust
scared
me,
people.
I read the first chapter of Satanic Verses. I can see why people wanted to kill him. Like, it is that boring.
He's not mad at Salman Rushdie for writing the book. He's mad at Salman Rushdie got to do Unspeakable Things with Padma Lakshmi.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Film sociology guest, no, Padma Lakshmi. Did you play that last week?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Were you okay?
Yeah, it was fine.
So anyway, this is him. Yes, this is Kobe Disgusted.
Oh, okay. Never seen Disgusted Kobe before. I've seen Happy Kobe, Sad Kobe, Mildly Disturbed Kobe, but never Disgusted Kobe.
He is, He's your, you know what? That's his version of your guy.
All right.
Eric Michael. No. To pontificate one's inner sanctum, sanctimonious.
You know, when I do another radio show here on Fridays, at the end of a rather annoying call, I always say, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
You're not going to get Tyson back on the show, are you?
No.
No. That was, anyway, that's another story. But we have a film that's directed by the gentleman who gave us the good Incredible Hulk film. It's called Now You See Me, and this is with Jesse Eisenberg
and the Incredible Hulk.
Yes, Mark Ruffalo. But he didn't star in the film that was directed by this guy. That was Edward Norton. We have a Zombieland reunion because Woody Harrelson and Jesse Eisenberg are in this. Isla Fisher, Michael Caine, Morgan Freeman, and it's kind of Ocean's 11, but instead of cool people, they're magicians. But
it actually sounds like an interesting premise.
I wish all magicians and musicians look like Isla Fisher.
Yeah,
so,
where they basically steal from the
rich and give to the poor,
but they do it more in the form of a magic show
or an illusion.
Illusion.
If you are a fan of Doug Henning or Arrested Development, so
Abdul just hit on a point that he previously did.
But it actually looks pretty interesting.
Yes,
from a preview perspective.
And then plot things happen.
Yes, to story characters.
Because you know what? Because that's what a preview's job is to make things interesting.
Well, it worked. I mean, no, a preview's job is to tell me, okay, this is really going to rock, or this is grounds for divorce.
Yes, that's exactly what they do. They people at Universal and Warner Brothers are going to, let's make a trailer that'll get the Shabazzes separated.
Trust me, this way, I'd rather see these magicians than Magic Mike.
I'm going to defend Magic Mike because that's actually a Boogie Nights done by Steven Soderbergh.
And all I know is it was in my house the other day sucking the IQ out of my DVR.
Really?
Yes.
Yes. You didn't enjoy that?
No, not really.
No? Okay.
I didn't like Showgirls either.
Oh, well, Showgirls is god-awful terrible. This one brings up the fact that being a 30-year-old male stripper is kind of like being a 40-year-old Hooters waitress. Not really all it's cracked up to be, and you want to do other things?
Wow, let's see. Boy moves to big town, boy leaves farm, boy gets job, boy becomes stripper, boy meets drug addict, we're going to do it big, bad things happen, discovery of self. Did I miss anything?
Playing chess with death. I'm sorry, dancing lap dance for death.
You can tell I'm getting back in the swing of things.
Yes, you are. On the swing shift. All right.
Oh, yeah, that's stupid. Oh, my wife wanted to go. That was almost like we're going to Marion County Court and filing divorce papers.
Wow. That's Abdul with his dandruff.
That must have been Insidious.
Well, that's a number of films.
Yeah,
I can't remember what that was.
But
it was so good we kept it.
There's a title on DVD that, well, we might have to play that clip again. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But first, let's hear some audio of Now You See Me.
Come in close. Because the more you think you see, the easier it'll be to fool you.
Ladies and gentlemen,
for our final trick,
we are going to rob a bank.
On the count of three, you will be teleported through space and time to your bank in Paris.
One, two,
three. Everyone in this room was a victim of hard times.
Some of you lost your homes, your car.
And so tonight,
we're going to return some of that money back to you.
Thank you, everyone.
Can you explain to me how you went from Las Vegas to Paris in 3 seconds?
What do the kids call it these days? Oh, magic. First rule of magic, always be the smartest guy in the room.
Your bank was the distraction. While they set up the real trick.
Expose them now and destroy them.
Hang on. I've got nothing.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the delay.
Whatever this grand trick is, it was designed a long time ago. And I believe that what's about to follow is really going to amaze. Look closely. Because the closer you think you are, the less you'll actually see.
Either get living or die trying.
We hardly moving. We might as well walk to the Piggly Wiggly. Okay, really good cast, obviously, with really great voices, as we heard. But yeah, this is kind of Ocean's 11 with magicians. And something I wanted to ask you guys. I brought this up to the smart one at home, but magic in film, because it's a. That's something, you know, a magic trick is something, I know it's a movie, but the fact that you could rely on CG. Now, I guess if you took out Woody Harrelson and Jesse Eisenberg and put in Penn and Teller.
I think there's a difference, though, between magic in film and sorcery in film.
And sword and sorcery.
Yeah, I mean, I think that inherently is a difference. I mean, it's a difference between, like, you know, a Now You See Me versus Harry Potter.
Right.
So I think actually in a Now You See Me, it works even better because people expect, you know, Harry Potter, the Red Riding Hood, the Hunter and the Swordsman,
right.
Whatever that Snow White and the Thor guy. Yeah.
That's exactly what it's called, Snow White and the Thor guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little bit of a different creature.
So I when this comes out on DVD and Blu-ray, probably by the end of the year, I'll be intrigued to see how much the actors got to learn tricks of the trade. That would interest me. Part of it is that, because I'm wondering how much of this stuff is CG and how much stuff they know, and the fact that they're in a huge arena. I mean, it looks like something bigger than Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Granted, there's also scenes that are happening in Vegas. I'm like, really, you're treating these magicians like rock stars? Not even Siegfried and Roy got this much following.
Well, I will say this about magic and movies. I always like the puppet.
Oh, geez, Anthony Hopkins. Whew.
That's
a scary one.
Yeah, 10 years old.
Ooh, yeah. We were late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Next.
Yep, that's Kobe.
What?
Not on your list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, anyway, good actors. And also, this is a film like Oceans, like the con artist films, in which the film could go in any direction and justify itself.
Yeah.
So the big plot twist that happens at the end of the film, not really of an M. Night Shyamalan bad, but it doesn't really surprise anybody.
Uh-huh.
So, and this is another thing. I had before I get onto the couch doctor and talk to you. I had a really rough week. Work week. So, and I think sometimes that affects your viewing. I think if I was in a slightly chipper mood before going in, I probably would like this film a little bit more.
But I guess my question for somebody like you is, do you ever go to the movies just to relax?
Sure. At home. But, you know, if I go with the family, if it's something I have not seen, that doesn't happen a whole lot because I'm normally 1 to 2 films a week. And as soon as something opens, I got to concentrate on what's opening next week. So it happens, just not as much as I would like to. So I guess if I do relax, it's at home. I'm watching Spengoolie or Mystery Science Theater.
I will look at the occasional Facebook.
Yeah, you see those.
And yes,
so
I still have the Invisible Man saved in the DVR and the Mole People.
Oh boy, the Mole People. So yeah, I do watch stuff for leisure, but probably not as much as I should. But yeah.
Leisure or leisure?
Leisure is my pleasure. So anyway, go check it out. You'll probably like it more than I did, and that's fine. Hopefully, I'll lighten up next week.
Wow, that'd be some good filming there, Mr. Soci. Wow. Oh, by the way, not to interrupt the flow of film sociology.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, because we've never done that before, ever. But
there was apparently a study, which I heard some folks in our profession talking about today, about cheating on your spouse at the movies. But not cheating in the sense that you're going with somebody. But
you mean drooling on the screen?
No, but
drooling
going
at the screen?
No, a movie that you're supposed to go see together.
Oh.
You instead go see by yourself.
Ooh.
You never tell them. Ooh. And then they drag you to it, so you must act surprised.
Okay. I can happily say that has never happened with me. In fact, I go the complete opposite direction. I will specifically ask my wife if she wants to go to a movie I know she has absolutely no desire to see whatsoever, because sometimes it's nice to ask. Kobe, make a point of that.
Okay.
So, honey, do you want to watch Friday Foster or Black Mama, White Mama?
Yeah, I tried that with Birdemic and no,
didn't work. Mm-mm. Gotta work on that. So, that's pretty good. So, and I guess you, the husband would get chewed out for seeing the film before her.
I think so, but I think it has to be a film that the significant other wants to see. If you just go to the movies by yourself,
right?
But it's a movie that they would have no interest in.
That's
for example, the
every
date
week for me.
Yeah. For example, when I saw Kick-Ass a few years ago, wife was at work, mother-in-law was over, taking care of stuff in the garden. So like, hey, you know what? House is fine. Dog's like, I'm going to go see Kick-Ass.
And of course, it's become a part of our lexicon
since then. And when I went and saw it, my wife, she was all mad and upset, like, I can't believe you went and saw this movie without me, blah, blah, blah. Then when I bought it on DVD and sat there and watched it, she's like, I can't believe you went and watched this. Oh, this is stupid, blah, blah, blah. Thank you.
Yes. So that means, Kobe, don't go rent Safe Haven without Fair Sweet Bianca.
And watch it on my own.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Okay.
By the way, what is Epic?
It's an animated film from the makers of Rio.
Oh,
wow.
Another one.
Yeah. Yes, another one. All right.
That, and did anybody actually see The Great Gatsby?
I did.
Yes. How was it?
Kobe, you want to begin? I'm just the host.
I mean, it's only my show and all.
It's not my show, but I'm on that show. Thank you, Dick Giron. Go ahead.
What are you looking for?
Is it worth my time? Let me put it this way. When I walk out of the film, will I say, wow, that was a great piece of artistic cinema, that was just an amazing film, or, wow, that was 2 hours and 22 minutes long?
One moment. I've got something for that.
Really?
I have something for that.
You actually have something for this?
Yes. Of course, I can't find it right. Oh, here we go. Yes. All the stuff in this folder is named something that
isn't?
Yeah, it shouldn't be.
You should rename it.
It's a nice way to spend 2 hours in a movie theater that you won't wish you got back.
Okay, so here's with that. I like the film. I recommend the film. However, having said, despite...
It's flawed.
It is flawed. And what's wrong with saying that a film is flawed?
Nothing.
All right.
You don't sound like you're from New Jersey while you're saying it.
I'm Kobe, and I make Matt sound like this. So,
I'm Matt, and I watch movies.
I'm Kobe. I host Cool Down. The fact that it's Baz Luhrmann. Now, this is the guy who gave us Moulin Rouge, Australia.
Spectacular.
All right, yes. Strictly Ballroom, Romeo and Juliet. He's giving us this whirlwind style, and there's modern music, and yes, it's almost like he's treating Gatsby like he's a modern celebrity. He's famous for being rich. I get it. And Jay-Z is an executive producer. I get that, too. It almost feels like
Gatsby... And the Carters are getting a pretty nice paycheck with the soundtrack. Obviously.
Yes, and it looks like Gatsby should have his own series on Bravo. But even despite the novel being a really fine read, I still don't care about Gatsby and Daisy. I'm like, boo-hoo, you have everything in the world except her, and you build a house that looks, in this film, looks like Xanadu across the pond to stalk on somebody that you didn't have a shot with 5 years ago. Boo-hoo. What else you got for me? But as far as capturing the excess of 20s living and, yes, the mixed media and all that, it's fine. Not needed in 3D, of course. And the performances are fine, but I don't care. I don't care that this guy can't get a girl. Now, granted, this was Carey Mulligan, which is, I think, a step up over Mia Farrow some 30 years ago. But so, yeah, it is flawed. So shut up.
So in other words, your review of Great Gatsby is meh.
Yeah.
But in video, I'm mad. I say meh. And it's flawed.
Gosh.
That's about to become a recurring theme of this program, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
All right.
It's sweet. The old thing of just, you just imitate by somebody by just saying, I'm so-and-so, and I sound like this. So what
well,
have
you're going to sound like Abdul Hakim Shabazz.
No, not
better...
no, these aren't getting into Larry territory. So what have you seen so far this summer, sir?
We saw Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah, you want to join me on the front stoop when we talk to these damn kids about...
I have to see it again.
Okay.
Because my problem the first time was Star Trek Into Darkness, i.e. Star Trek Wrath of Khan plus 30.
Yes.
I spent too much time relating back to the original Star Trek 2.
And that guy is, as much as we love watching him as Sherlock Holmes on BBC, he is so not Khan.
He seems more like a Doctor Who type character.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's why I have to go see it again so I can... put all that other stuff out of my head.
Right. And
because for me, that became my wife, who's never really seen Star Trek II at any length of time.
But it's happening this summer at midnight at Landmark Cinemas. Kobe, get the dates on that while he's in mid rant.
Yeah, uh-huh. She's, you know, this is awesome and amazing. I'm
yes,
like,
it's a well made action film. Is it a Star Trek film?
It's a space action movie, not necessarily a Star Trek movie.
Because I think I can't remember who credited it, and I wish I had come up with it, but somebody wrote that bronze wins out over brains, which really shouldn't happen in a Star Trek film, even if you do have William Shatner / Chris Pine.
And even when you – and here's there are a couple technical things, and this is just
uh-oh.
me being
– oh, here we go.
This is me being kind of a Star Trek dork.
Buckle in, everyone.
It's like, okay, you're at the United Federation of Planets, and you don't have security.
Okay, wait a second. No, I'm with you. You just reminded me of something that happens in Now You See Me, where you meet the characters at the beginning, and then it goes to 1 year later, and they start talking in exposition. So you know about it. I'm like, really? You're still bringing this up a year later?
Yeah.
We are an erotic bunch. Go away.
Yeah, I mean, and that was kind of...
So no security.
Yeah, there was a couple things like, okay, Star Trek, Federation, you know, how many planets... And you only got one ship. Where's the rest of Starfleet? I'm just saying.
You couldn't maybe digitalize little people
yeah.
running around like in Troy. That was my issue with 2012. Remember where we said, oh, okay, so all the rich people can go in and all the working suckers can
you're going to drown.
Yeah, you're going to drown and we won't think about that. Well, we did think about it.
Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those things where I have to go see it again. So I could remove the old Star Trek 2 out of my head.
Because that's the other thing. So are we going to search for Spock in the next one? Are they going to go to San Francisco
and rescue
whales?
Do we the undiscovered country?
Do we find God? Do we have Shatner direct again?
Do I have Mark Warner as General Chang? Yeah, tickle us, do we not laugh? Prick us, do we not bleed? Wrong us, do we too not seek vengeance? Our days are now ended, Kirk. You know, cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war.
Abdul Hakim Shabazz, Saturdays on WI.
General Chang! All right. I was going to put on Facebook today, you haven't appreciated Shakespeare until you've read in the original Klingon. Just to...
There is a Klingon. Apparently there's a Klingon Hamlet. So I have not found it yet.
Talk. To be or not to be.
Yes.
That is why we are all here.
How many Klingon words do you know?
Just really those two.
Oh,
and
okay.
You Patak and... That's about it. I only know that from Next Generation Star Trek.
Very
Which,
good.
By the way, is that what's going to be next then? After
I don't
they've
know.
Done the, they've done the
what
run.
What bald English guy are they going to bring in?
That's a really good question.
So we'll have to work on that.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, no. So that, another movie that the wife dragged me to.
Uh-oh.
We did go see Oblivion.
Yeah, that's the other thing. With After Earth, do we need two post-apocalyptic films in the same
season? For the same reason we need movies about terrorists blowing up the White House.
Oh, gosh, yes.
I mean,
but the president's a black guy this time.
Woohoo.
Yeah. We're past
so,
that.
See, well, so he was also one in Deep Impact.
The original. No, no, the original black president, James Earl Jones, in The Man. Now, you got to look this one up. Early 70s, I think it was one of those, it was made for TV, and then it went over so well, they shoved it in theaters, like Steven Spielberg's Duel. They did this, and it was president dies, vice president dies, so that means third on the food chain is
Speaker of the House,
and it was James Earl Jones, ladies and gentlemen.
Only way you're going to get to be president in 1974.
So, yes, now Morgan Freeman wasn't the first. It was James Earl Jones. Yeah. It was Simba, yeah. Darth Vader, yeah. The blackest brother on the planet.
And the colonel in the Clear and Present Danger movies.
Very
the general,
good.
The admiral.
So,
I mean, we saw Oblivion. I thought it was okay. I mean, I spent more time kind of all the little other science fiction movies.
Greatest hits.
Oh,
that's from Star Wars. That's from Silent Running. That's from Omega Man. That's from Planet of the Apes. That's I did as well.
I did a lot of that. I mean, it was
distracting.
It was okay.
Yep.
But that's about...
There really hasn't been anything that's rocked my foundation this year.
And I will say I made the crucial mistake, although it did come out... I guess maybe it did come out earlier this year.
What's that?
We have HBO, and like on HBO 19, I watched Total Recall.
The remake.
Ooh.
Did you have a broken leg?
But I couldn't get up and walk away. No, just two broken wrists because I couldn't get up and change the channel. I mean, I just sat there. It was more out of morbid curiosity,
sure,
than anything else.
With it.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, meh.
Meh.
Meh. There we go. Well, while we adjust our mess, let's take a break. We'll talk about what's new on DVD and Blu-ray, and then more with Abdul-Hakim Shabazz and God knows what else. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Anything about either one of them.
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video. Wow, what a difference.
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Shots of him getting elbowed by Birdman. Wow. Yes, here at Film Sociology, we are apparently pro Tyler Hansborough.
Yes, we are.
So long as he can read better. Oh, we got a check.
Now it's in a couple weeks.
It's in a couple weeks.
2 weeks away.
That's right. So all I can say, ladies and gentlemen, is go to YouTube and type in Tyler Hansborough reads Chicken Little.
Nice.
Maybe that's why Birdman elbowed him. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Soci. Kobe Slagle's hanging out with me,
yep,
as well as Abdul-Hakim Shabazz, who is returning to radio with Abdul at Large Saturdays on IBC.
2 to 4.
2 to 4.
This is going to be interesting. I haven't been an FM disc jockey in a long time.
Well, the problem is you're talking as opposed to playing
Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and Britney Spears.
Five Young Cannibals.
I never played Five Young Cannibals on the air.
Okay.
I never played. I was more of a 1998, 2002, 2003 FM disc jockey.
Oof.
I did it while I was in law school.
Oof.
Yeah.
Did you give out free advice on Monday nights?
Actually, no, but I did him. Well, I'm in love with Ricky Martin. Well, let me tell really.
Kind of like being in love with the lead singer of Judas Priest in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. I like Ricky Martin. Well, Ricky Martin probably doesn't
love
like
you.
Why not? Well,
we'll find out. Oh, bye.
I know you do. Yes. Yeah, so it was one of those things.
Wow. Very funny.
No, well, looking forward to being back in the middle and back in the thick of things. So
not Alan Thicke.
That's right. Between panhandlers and ice step tests and
yeah, you're gonna have a busy first show.
Oh yeah. It's already full.
So then you'll take the occasional caller that comes out from under the woodwork.
It'll be interesting because I mean the guys at IBC, we've known each other forever, so they know what they're getting.
Yeah.
The question is, will that certain segment of that audience know what they're getting?
Well, you soon going to find out.
Yeah, that's why I'm almost tempted to have my first song be the opening theme from Blazing Saddles.
That's not a bad idea. So,
God darn it, I said the show.
The show host is near. And I know you're still doing columns for Nuvo and the Indianapolis Star.
Nuvo, the Indianapolis Star, and the StateHouseFile.com.
However, they did fire all of the photographers for the Sun-Times, because I know that's one less job for you to have.
There's one less job. You know, one reason a black man can't find a job in Marin County, because I got all of them.
So there
you never heard that joke before?
Ladies and gentlemen, Abdul Kahi Shabazz is the walking Haman.
Yeah, and actually, had a conversation with our friends at Crackers Comedy Club, so we're going to look at this summer when we get back from vacation to get back on stage.
Oh, gosh. There's no stopping him.
Oh, yeah. And imagine this, Kobe, with a little bit of Richard Pryor and Dennis Miller thrown in for good measure.
Excellent.
And apparently there is going to be a new Richard Pryor box set coming out very soon. Actually, Kobe, could you go to the Onion's AV page, AV Club? This is one of those I have to walk over there. See, also, Mr. Shabazz has his laptop with him because he's online. You're online and streaming while we're doing all this?
Yeah, I forgot my iPad. Left it at home.
Oh, I see.
I want the Onion, not Nickelodeon Games. How'd that pop up?
Because you're a game guy. You play the games.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
more of a Conquer the World video game type person. Big shocker.
Game? That's life.
Yeah.
Not the game of life.
Yeah, let's go ahead and build a giant empire and statues in my honor. So.
And your weight in scotch. I like bananas where it's horse manure, which is good for crops.
Here's one. Guy wondering how long to keep dead picture friend his profile picture.
Oh, wow. All right. So I thought of you, Mr. Shabazz, this week because I think it was a kind of a thin week for movies on DVD and Blu-ray, but I saw this and I didn't see it when it came to theaters, and I wondered if you'd been dragged to it. It's a PG-13 thriller called Dark Skies.
No.
The haunted house movie with Kerry Russell.
No, I was not dragged to it. However, it was dragged to me. Is it on DVD?
It came out this week.
Uh-huh. I think it is sitting on the coffee table.
Uh-oh.
In a thing from Redbox. So, yeah. I do not think I have seen it, but I do believe that it is there.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
Now correct me if I'm wrong. I think you are the type PG-13 thrillers are like sugar-free ice cream.
Actually, not even.
Not even that?
I look at them like rice cakes.
Wow. So anyway, it's Kerry Russell, Josh Hamilton, and he shows up an hour into the movie and they don't have enough of him. J.K. Simmons shows up. Our guy. We are pro J.K. Simmons here at Films. Kobe, we have to add him to the blog list of immortal. Timeless.
Oh yes.
But anyway, they have a house, and you've seen the trailer. It obviously gives it away. You know, birds die, and not Birdman. Birds start flying into the house, and weird things are happening to the mother, and you know, are bad things going to happen to the children? And is it aliens? Is it ghosts? Is it spirits? And it's directed by your favorite, the guy who gave us Priest. And Legion.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Your baby's gonna burn.
Yeah, that's although not as bad CG in this one.
Okay.
And so
let me ask you, is there somebody climbing on the wall, on the ceiling, and their head turns around backwards?
No, it's not
and
that.
And their tongue, and there's a big looking for Mr. Goodbar strobe effect lighting.
No, there's no Mr. Goodbar strobe effect lighting. Wow. Welcome to obscure 70s films with me and Abdul. But no, it's one of those, it's so you got all of these possibilities that are thrown out there, and then J.K. Simmons shows up an hour into the movie. He does, I think, two or three scenes where he's an expert in fill in the blank, and he's gonna, and of course, he justifies this by, because he's a really good actor, and Kerry Russell's not bad, but it's one of those, it brings the family together, and they finally defend the house, no matter, it's not against the people Judeans front, but it's something
the
similar.
People's front of Judea.
That's right, something similar to that, but anyway, it's interesting that you have films like this one, or what was that? A Haunting in Connecticut with Virginia Madsen. If you get one name actor, somebody kind of like Liam Neeson in Taken.
Yeah.
If you get one name actor who's got a little gravitas, who's got a little depth to them, it helps what could be just a really generic thriller.
Just makes it a less generic thriller.
Less generic thriller, right. Because,
like putting Gary Oldman in The Unborn.
Well, yeah, somebody waved him a big check, and he, you know, and you would too. You'd play a rabbi, and somebody waved a big check at you.
What? It's the devil? Right. What does that smell?
We're doing a Jewish version of Pryor's The Exorcist.
Yes. What are you doing? Go downstairs and help your mother. We've got company coming over.
Careful. That's all we can say. God, I've checked your schedule. I know you're busy.
I'm the devil. Yes, I know. I married your sister.
Anyway. No.
I've listened to a lot of old comedy radio on Pandora lately.
That's quite okay. So anyway, Dark Sky, well, you're going to see it. I'm sure you'll call in and tell us what you think about that one. So, okay, so it is true. And The Onion, I think, is coming out June 11th. There is a new CD-DVD box set of Richard Pryor shows, including some... not outtakes, but alternate performances of shows that we know, like Live in Concert, I think Live on the Sunset Strip. But this is different material, unlike the Warner Brothers box set that I know you and I bought on day one. So it's not like you're not repurchasing something. So be aware of that.
But are there any concert versions on DVD of Was There Something I Said?
No, I think that's that because we would have that by now.
Yeah.
It's just the three. I mean, you know, Live in Concert, Sunset Strip, Here and Now.
Yeah.
Here and Now, sadly, the Godfather 3 of the Richard Pryor stand-up comedy films.
White folks mad at Ollie. That's right. Ollie kicking butt, taking name. They killed nobody. Ollie's not fighting his best. Why are they making all the mother not fight? Gary Corey.
You just gotta. You just gotta.
Oh, look, it's Jerry Corey. Oh.
Anyone
who's ever familiar with that bit, you know exactly
bit.
What word I am leaving out.
Yep. And we appreciate that.
Well, thank
and I
you.
Bet your employers do too. So.
All eight of them.
Yes. So, Kobe, so if you don't have any plans, and well, you probably should. It's summer. What are you doing? But there's lots going on this weekend.
There is so much happening.
There is so much movie action. So if you don't want to go wait in line for After Earth or Fast and the Furious 6, there is plenty to do. Kobe, what is going on your screen?
IU Cinema this weekend, all weekend, tonight at 7, tomorrow at 7, and Sunday at 3, the 2013 drama, foreign language drama, Something in the Air.
Okay.
Know it?
No.
Sounds like a Phil Collins song.
No. That's not what he said.
At the IMA tonight, 7 o'clock, the Toby Style Wars.
Oh, huh. Fabulous.
And, of course, this week, the return of Midnight Madness at Keystone Landmark with tonight and tomorrow night, Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and going back to what we were talking about earlier, Abdul, July 19th and 20th, mark your calendar, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
That should be a group trip.
I
think we should.
From Hell's Heart, I stabbeth thee.
So, yeah, I think we got to go. I'm trying to talk the smarter.
Of course, by the way, there's only one real technical flaw in Star Trek II Wrath of Khan.
What's that?
It is Chekhov.
Khan doesn't win?
No, Chekhov never met Khan.
Oh.
In the original Star Trek series, Chekhov was not a cast member yet.
Did you stand up and scream foul?
Actually, no. I never realized it until later. I'm like, you know what? I don't think Chekhov ever... So I went back and found the episode Space Seed. I'm like, and so unless Chekhov was just like a crewman or something who just... You know, kind of happens off, you know, camera, because Khan says, I never forget to face Mr. Chekhov. Like, well, that's impossible because he wasn't on the series yet.
No, he was in a cherry orchard, time, so.
Him and his cousin Anton. Oh, what? I mean.
No, I'm with you, because that's an old view.
I mean, it's kind of an important point in the movie, because it sort of.
It's a line.
Yeah, it kind of sets up everything.
So, all right, it says July 19th. Yeah, I'm trying to talk the smart one into going to Anchorman tonight, but I don't know if that's happening.
Anchorman 2?
No. We're not talking about sequels. We're talking about old movies now, apparently. The original Anchorman at midnight, tonight and tomorrow night at our favorite.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
So you can have liquid beforehand.
Liquid refreshment.
Because that's really going to help with some of these. So Anchorman is this weekend. Go through the rest of the list, Kobe. I'd love to hear Mr. Shabazz's reaction.
It made Cloud Atlas a lot more enjoyable.
A lot of things make Cloud Atlas more enjoyable. Okay.
Next week, 7th and 8th, Willow with Val Kilmer.
Do you remember that? Did you see that in the theater?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, nope, move on.
That was just Val Kilmer. That wasn't the one
Val Kilmer and his future wife and Warwick Davis.
But that wasn't one. No, David Bowie was the other one.
That's Labyrinth.
Yeah.
That's Labyrinth.
Pan's Labyrinth, Willow, it's all the same friggin' Muppets. So.
Pan's Labyrinth did not have Muppets in it. Come on, it's Guillermo del Toro, our guy, and Doug Jones, our guest.
Yes.
Who's also part of Pan's Labyrinth. So get your facts straight on that one.
Whatever.
Oh, whatever. All right, so then third weekend.
We are 2 weeks away from The Room.
So I think I'm going to be able to make it because
yep.
I'm in Chicago. I'm in Chicago next weekend to go watch living black people perform and living white people perform at the Blues Festival. I'll say hi to your parents.
Thank you.
And then, so definitely next, which means 2 weeks, the return of my interview with Tommy Wiseau, because it's just that golden.
Yep.
All right, what's the rest of the
Midnight Correct my memory. What is the Room is about?
It's the gentleman who wrote, directed, produced, and starred in it, and he's engaged to a woman who is cheating on him with his best friend.
And don't forget it.
And don't forget it. And plot points and characters come in and out with no explanation
best
or comprehension.
Worst movie ever made.
Yeah, it's
amazing. It's a 2003 American independent romantic drama film. That's all I need to know.
No, you got to come with us because this is they dress up, they throw things at the screen, they yell things at the. It is a Rocky
Horror.
Horror
Picture Show.
It is a Rocky Horror-esque experience.
Okay.
I assure you.
So when someone says a toast, people start throwing the bread.
There's a recurring theme of spoons. There are pictures of spoons. There are paintings of spoons, drawings. So you take plastic spoons.
And apparently the spoons mean something if you're talking to the director. The spoons are symbolic of something.
But he won't tell us exactly what.
Nope. He'll only tell you have to watch it.
It
kind
of reminds
again.
Me of that scissor scene in Dead Again.
Oh, not that blatant, but we'd rather throw plastic spoons than scissors.
Okay.
And it's not a South Park reference either. So I'm telling you, I don't know about the lovely Mrs. Shabazz, but this is something to be experienced.
Okay. Yes.
So what else have we got in the midnight?
Without question. The week after that, June 21st and 22nd, Pulp Fiction. Gonna
that
be
would
that
be cool.
One as
I would
well.
Like to be that.
28th and
29th. I'm sorry, I didn't get it.
Really?
I didn't.
You were you were in Germany during Do the Right Thing.
Oh, no. We were here.
Oh, you were back.
We were back for Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
I saw it. I'm like, and...
Nonlinear storytelling, something.
So,
something,
and.
You have gangsters with dialogue that don't do anything to move the plot but just develop character.
It's like, and, yeah.
Jules
actually, it took
Jerry Curl.
Actually, it took an episode of The Simpsons for me to finally get it.
Really?
Because The Simpsons did a spoof on Pulp Fiction.
Well, it's 30 minutes. As
yeah.
Opposed, 22 as opposed to 2.5 hours.
Yeah, and when I saw The Simpsons version of it, okay, I understand what they're doing now. And, whatever. But I'm not a big Quentin Tarantino fan to begin with.
No, you are not, I've learned.
Django and Cash was in my house
well, and
recently.
No, and it wasn't just because... Now, she picked that as well?
Yes, she did.
Does she know what she's getting into?
She knew what she was getting into. She watched it. She liked it. I had no use for it.
Wow. Now I got to bring her on.
Yeah.
Dr. Soci, film therapist, is actually siding with the missus on this one.
But remember, I'm not... It just said Quentin Tarantino. I have
it's
no...
It's just not your cup of tea.
It's not my...
Cup of Café
yeah.
Du Monde.
It's not my cup of Kool-Aid. Let's put it that way.
Wow. Okay, what else we got, Kobe?
June 28th and 29th, Spice World. July...
Who's going to... Nobody in our group. The
you
camp,
know who's going to go to that.
The Beyond Camp crowd. Yeah, I know.
July 5th and 6th, Miami Connection. July 12th and 13th, indie theatrical premiere of VHS 2. 19th and 20th, Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan. And rounding out July 26th, 27th, The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
With General Zod.
Huh. That's right.
Of course. Actually, Mrs. Soci has brought up maybe going to Priscilla. That would be cool. It'd be a fascinating crowd.
I think Mrs. Soci and Mrs. Shabazz.
Oh, my God. We can double. Oh, Kobe. Triple. Triple date. No.
It's a threesome times two.
There we go. We have our triple. We have our first triple date, Kobe. This is what happens. Because you need to start hanging out with married folk. Honey, let's have dinner with the Shabazzes again. Again.
Again.
Oh, I like them.
I like it. How about the Sosies? Okay, but he can't pick the music. He can't pick the movie.
Honey, we got dinner at the Feynman's.
Oh, you'll get this a lot. So, and yeah. Why does Matt make you watch bad things? So let me ask you, Abdul.
Okay.
Were you a midnight movie guy in your younger single days?
It depended on what the movie was. I mean, I went and saw the Star Trek re-releases at the midnight showing. When the Avengers came out, my friends at Downtown Comics, they had some. They ran out a whole theater for midnight.
Full? Packed?
Yeah.
Cool.
So
I guess when you were in your teens, when you were living in Chicago, did you go downtown and check out stuff? Because Chicago was one of the last. I mean, you know, there was midnight movies going on all the time, and part of it was because of Rocky Horror. And by the 80s, early 80s, when
my old neighborhood.
Video, well, not your old neighborhood, but you have thousands of theaters in Chicago.
Yeah.
A couple you could walk to, carefully. But what I'm saying,
the only theater in my old neighborhood was this place called the Rhodes Theater near 79th and Stony Island. And that's where you went on Saturday afternoon to see those bad Chinese action movies.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where the...
But no, you didn't go to the Music Box or the Biograph or Head Into the Loop.
It was the Five Deadly Venoms and the Son of the Dragon.
Okay, all right. So it's become more recent as opposed to like the
more as a 20-something than I did as a teen-something.
Fair enough. Okay. They're just a lost art, and the fact that Landmark has to do these twice a year because they'll do it again in the fall. It's a fun experience. But yes, it does. As I've learned, especially with
they'll do it again in the fall.
What? Yes, they did it. They did the Room in October.
Did they really?
Yes, they did. Hmm. I was there.
Oh, because it wasn't on the thing for last summer, or was it? I can't remember.
So, but no, they do sets of midnight movies. They do one in the summer and they do one in the fall. And I think summer one is good because, you know, it's blockbuster season. And yes, even the art film puts in blockbuster movies because, you know, got to pay the bills.
Hyde Park on the Hudson.
Right, exactly. And then they'll do it in the fall right before the grown-up movies really get into full swing.
Because I want to say, just as I think it might have been back in 2011, right before I left the old job, you were telling me about a bunch of midnight movie shows. Actually, they were pretty decent.
This is this place.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a fun experience. Like, again, we mentioned that, you know, there's a bar nearby that really helps. But I will say when I did the Room back to back, it throws off my clock for the rest of the beginning. Okay, now we start comparing scars.
You mean it's like going to see Watchmen at 10 o'clock in the morning?
No. Unfortunately, I've learned like I'm heading up to Chicago. HW and I are going to Chicago for the Blues Festival. Going to the music events in the morning is a lot more appealing than trying to close the Kingston Mines at 4 a.m. I've become that old, that type. So
nah, just take a nap during the day like college.
I need to do that. Except I have, you know, a house full of women that will keep me awake and cats. female cats. Not thunder cats. Also keep me awake.
Anyway.
But so anyway, those are midnight movies. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's definitely worth checking
really
out.
Really good lineup this year, too.
I like the lineup. Even even the strange ones like Spice World, I know they're going to bring out, hopefully it'll bring out people who like that stuff.
Oh, we had a theory. And it was kind of based on like an old Chris Rock bit used to tell. When we used to play the Spice Girls on the radio, somebody is buying this CD. It's like heroin. Somebody's doing it.
Right.
Nobody will admit it, but somebody's doing it.
Hey, boy, they got 12 million copies, but nobody we knows.
Yeah, Napster wasn't invented yet, so somebody's buying this stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. It's around this time. Oh, just another note, if you have MeTV, and you really should, here in Indianapolis, it is 13.3.
Or channel 253, depending on your cable system.
Thank you. So, Cope, can you grab some of the IDs for this guy? But Saturday nights at 10 o'clock, our guy, and this was one of the most satisfying things in my career. One was not only to talk to this guy, but two, to be able to do a tag team.
That was awesome.
A six-person tag of Svengoolie, a.k.a. Rich Coase, being interviewed by yours truly, Mr. Shabazz, and my daughter, H.W.
That was awesome.
That was great. So anyway, he is. I know he's back on the mend. He had some. He had to go into the hospital for a little bit. But I think we haven't heard any word yet on if new stuff is going to come out. But tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, Abbott and Costello meet Boris Karloff.
Wow.
And were you an Abbott and Costello guy?
Later on in life.
They used to show Abbott and Costello movies every Sunday morning on Channel 7 in Detroit. And it astounded me that there were that many. But then again, they probably just rotated them, you know, what, every 6-8 weeks?
They used to have a cartoon.
I know, not the cartoon, but I understand that. But this was the actual...
Hey, Abbott!
Yeah. So anyway,
you think I'm making this
stuff? No, I don't think you're making
this stuff. There was an Abbott and Costello cartoon. There was. So, do you have our guy?
Yeah.
Well, hello there. I'm Sven Gulli from MeTV, and you're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI Indianapolis. If there's an Indian Annapolis, it means that he's like, you know, a military type person from Native America.
You should try to get Rich on the show. On your show.
Sweet.
Because, you know, he's got a show here.
Yep.
You just got to look for it. So
he's got to call him early.
Hey, you follow him on Facebook, don't you?
Mm.
Ding. I was the guy. Because you, I always remember, this is one of the most impressive geek things ever, is you know the very first Son of Sven Gulli episode.
In the year 2889.
Not the god-awful song. Yeah. But you know that. That was very
like
impressive.
Mr. Coase, if I can call you Mr. Coase, I'm going to engage my total and complete geekdom right now. The very first thing.
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
And you can tell Rich Coase was like, wow.
But
hey. My name's Abdul, and I'm black, so I ain't a...
That's right. Yeah. I'm valuable. It's like a girl at a Star Trek convention. And by the way, congratulations to Indianapolis.
For getting Comic-Con.
Comic-Con 2014.
Wow.
But please note, Comic-Con is like a brand.
Yes.
So it's not... So when people are actually getting the Comic-Con, well, it depends on... Because there's a Chicago one, a San Diego one.
Right.
You know.
But this is going to be... I'm guessing it's going to be bigger than the average convention
that
comes here. Because there's one once a year. So,
and I'm going as Nick Fury.
Of course you are. You're not going as the Black Spock.
With eye patch and everything.
That's right. This is some repugnant stuff. and also on MeTV, Saturday night, major geek night, because you have
Lost
in Space, Batman, Star Trek, Sven Gulli, and then after that,
A Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
So there's a nerd night. And Emma... My lovely daughter, because of Big Bang Theory, now likes Star Trek. Well, guess what she wants as a pet around the house? Tribbles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just go to the Mary Kay store and buy some old Powder Puffs.
Promise she's going to want them to multiply.
See, I'm just waiting for like Land of the Giants or somebody have the giant pencil trying to dial the phone.
Oh, jeez. So anyway, that's Saturday nights on MeTV. That is a lot of fun. That's a throwback to when... you know, every city had a horror show host. We've had, of course, Sammy Terry on the show. We need to get him back. Does he take the summers off, I think?
I don't know. I mean, he's awfully
pale. He also makes fun of you.
Yeah.
No Kobe's. He's trying to keep you from watching chick flicks as well, as we are here at the table here at Film Sociology.
No, I'm just trying to change you how to put them in perspective. There's a time and place for chick flicks. Not many times or many places, but there is a time and place for chick flicks. Usually it's... when you want to get your groove on. That's the only time you willingly watch a chick flick.
See, she likes groove except for the bass parts.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
What is, no. All right, no, we can't air, can't do that, because then we'll get text and... Oh, when Mrs. Shabazz texts Abdul, you can feel the hostility.
Oh, yeah. Like, you can see the claw marks on the table.
Shut up, I like that movie. Quit making fun of...
We're not making fun of you!
Oh my gosh! So remind folks, Abdul, you're going to be on WIBC tomorrow.
WIBC Saturdays, 2 to 4 p.m. And if things work out, you know, people ask Abdul, are you going to do something during the week? You know, we take it one show at a time. So
sweet Jesus.
So we're just happy to be back on a regular basis with a little bit of. I always said I felt like at the old shop, I was like North Koreans. I got this great nuclear bomb, but just a Roman catapult to deliver it. Now I have a delivery system,
but no deliverance.
Yeah.
Well. Yes. Well, hopefully you might hear somebody making a visit before something.
That's the game plan.
Yeah, we'll see. It's a Dwayne Johnson movie.
First start of the right and straight on till morning.
Oh gosh.
Don't get me started on the G.I. Joe sequel.
No, let's not.
Actually, that wasn't that bad. I still like the president in G.I. Joe.
It's not tourable. You like Jonathan Pryce.
Yeah, only because of Evita.
Yes. All right, and of course, the cool down is tomorrow night at 7 o'clock here on HD2, and the Blues House Party tomorrow night at 8 on HD1, which will be a preview of this year's Chicago Blues Festival, which is happening next weekend. So, yes, living artists being played on the radio.
They're alive?
Yes, they're alive. Shut up. All right, here's some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
And don't even think about remaking those two films. So there.
Soylent Ivory.
Thanks, Abdul. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. And I guess I got to say, they got to win tomorrow. Got to win.
Got to win.
And you know it's bad when a Pistons fan saying, go Pacers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, go Tyler. Put Birdman in his place. Good night, Fort Myers.
We gone.